Hello, everyone. I'm Mark Shoemaker, joined here with Pastor Sean. And this is my first time hosting a Back in Five.
So far, you're
How'd I do?
You're doing really good
far. I'm sitting with you, who normally hosts it. So
you've made it through the first 18 seconds.
Feels pretty good.
That's good.
I think we're going all right. So you preached out of Psalm 11.
Yes.
This past Sunday. And so I wanted to be able to talk to you a little bit about it and hear your thoughts on it a couple days later. So first of all, we didn't get the recording of the message.
We didn't get the recording. It didn't get recorded. So
you have to squeeze it into 5 minutes.
So what I'm going to try to, my in-laws are in town. I made a pumpkin pie the other day, and there's an ingredient that you put in pumpkin pie called sweetened condensed milk.
Mm.
So this is going to be like a sweetened condensed version of my sermon, which might just be sweeter just because it's only 5 minutes.
Oh no, I wouldn't say that. It was a very good sermon. I think everyone enjoyed it, but I'm looking forward to the sweetened condensed version.
All right, so here's the sweetened condensed version. I'll just try to run through some of the major things. We talked out of Psalm 11, and I posed the question, what should the righteous do when everything around us seems to be collapsing? And the answer to that question is, when everything around us seems to be collapsing, the righteous ought to take refuge in the Lord. So it's a very basic and elementary principle that we know. But how do we actually do that? So I tried to get into that. When you look at the chapter, it's just 7 short verses, and verse 1 and verse 7 are really the conclusion. It's the answer to the question, what happens when the people of God have everything collapsing? Well, the answer is, in the Lord we take refuge, because the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds, and the upright shall behold his face. And so that's the answer to the question. But to get to that conclusion, we had to walk through the rest of the passage. So verses 1 through 3 are really David's counsel coming to him, and they are in despair. They see the situation where they say that bows and arrows are like pointed at him and they're going to shoot him. And so their counsel is, it seems very logical and fitting that he runs. He gets out of here. They say, why don't you flee to the mountain? And he says, well, how can you say that to my soul? Because that's not how a person of faith should actually act. And so we looked at evidences of collapse around us. We looked at the world was under a curse. The culture is failing. The financial system is failing. Environmental, societal, and even the church as a whole sometimes seems to be failing. And so things can just be collapsing in on us. So David's counsel comes to him, and they say, well, why don't you flee? Why don't you get out of here? And he says, I can't do that. So he had a response of faith, and that's verses 4 through 6. And he says, according to the logical advice that his counselors were giving him, he says, well, I'm going to respond in what I know to be true of the character of God. And so he asked David, well, David, what do you know about the character of God? And he says that God is holy, that he is reigning, and that he is aware of all things, and that he's doing all things to test what's in the hearts of people. And so then he makes a distinction between who is righteous and who's wicked. When those hard times fall on the lives of the righteous, he says that those are coming to those people as tests, but when those hard times come to the wicked, those are coming as a result of God's judgment and his hatred towards them. And that's a very tough thing to swallow, but it's what the passage says. So we finally arrive back at the conclusion, verses 1 and verse 7. We said, well, what does taking refuge actually look like? And it's really only applicable to those who have been made righteous, and that's through the work and the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. And then we have a perspective shift. Instead of asking, why is this difficult thing happening, we turn the question a different way, and we say, well, because this is happening, it must be producing like this eternal weight of glory that's beyond comparison. And that's a very God-exalting perspective shift. Having faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And so the final thing is that once those two things happen, once we're made righteous and we have a perspective shift, we can be fueled by the confidence that one day we, like in verse 7, are going to behold the face of our God. Just like the Apostle Peter said, put all your eggs in this one basket, that the glory of Christ will be revealed and the grace will be given to you. So I said that refuge is found and peace is experienced in the certain hope of the future reality of beholding the face of God. And we talked about Job having all the difficulties of his life, but yet he said, in the end, I'll see my God. Peter said, rejoice in your sufferings. And he says, we ask why? And he says, because one day his glory is going to be revealed. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Hebrews chapter 11, it says that those saints were longing for a better country. And so then I ended with Bethel Church. And I said our hope has never been in, especially with our situation now, in a senior pastor, but it's always been in Christ, who is the exalted head and the cornerstone of the church. And so that's really kind of what the whole sermon was about, the sweetened and condensed version.
There it is, sweetened, condensed. That was great, man. And I mean, there's so many different elements of this psalm, seven verses, but things that you could latch on to, the response of David of faith, and that, and choosing that he's going to put his refuge in God and God alone. And there's other just nuggets all throughout it that make you think and sort of process stuff. And so I know for myself, you know, there's been things I've been thinking about and looking at it with it. And one question I had for you is sort of the guy who had the opportunity to study this and think through it and pray through it and think about how you're going to prepare it and preach it ultimately. What's on your heart and your mind 2 days later after preaching it? What part of this is still going through your mind?
I'd say that the first thing is why haven't I applied this more regularly in my life? I think about knowing that we should take refuge in the Lord and that we have this great treasure in the fact that one day we will behold our God's face. I was thinking about that even this morning when I had to shovel the 3 inches of like ice and snow off
whatever
my drive,
that's called. Yeah,
whatever it was, it was terribly heavy. And I was just kind of like groaning under the weight of it. And as I sit here now, as you ask me that question, I'm thinking I should not necessarily like worry about that hard thing, you know, with shoveling my driveway. Just be fueled by the confidence that one day I'm going to see my God.
Yes.
And no matter what God brings into my life, I know that even as Job says that after my flesh is destroyed, I shall behold my God, I shall see his face. And so I would say that just applying this in a more regular, you know, on a day by day, moment by moment basis is something that, you know, I hope to do.
Absolutely, man. That's great. And for all of us as well, as we consider this psalm the rest of our week and continue to pray through it and think about what God has for us, I pray that that'd be true of all of us. So thanks for the message on Sunday. And
good job at hosting your first Back in
Well,
Five.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. We will see you all on Sunday morning. Once again, we have one service at 10 a.m. I will be able to bring a message, hopefully from the Lord, this Sunday morning that will be applicable to your lives as well. And as we look at the new year, talking about life after Christmas and finding that the common things in our life can become divine if we look at them from a different perspective. So we'll see you on Sunday morning.